You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 938. Yes, 938. I can't believe it, nor can any of my guests believe it. We've got a great special guest this week. We've got Corey Morris here, CEO and owner of Voltage Digital. Corey's got a load of information and experience about building a digital agency and advice if you're in that area trying to build your own agency. We're going to be talking about positioning, SEO, partnerships. Corey was mad enough to write a book, The Digital Marketing Success Plan. Poor soul. I've had a few friends that have written a book, like my co-host. It made them aged. It made Kirk lose his hair. So we've got a ton of information. So, Corey, would you like to give the listeners and viewers a quick 20, 30-second intro before we go into the main part of the interview?
Yeah, and first, thanks for having me. Excited to get into our conversation today. As you mentioned, I'm the owner and CEO of Voltage. We're a digital agency focused on search marketing and websites. My career and background started in project management in a web shop and moved into SEO and more broadly digital marketing. And now here I am.
All right. That's fantastic. And I've got my patient and great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Absolutely, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana Nomás. We focus largely on membership and learning websites and moving your SCORM product to WordPress. And I work with Jonathan directly at WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
That's fantastic. And we've had a lot of new listeners and viewers. Thank you for your comments and support. They're much appreciated. Before we go into the key parts of this great interview, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out, we've got some fabulous recommendations and special offers for you, the WordPress professional or power user. You can get this created list of offers and the best WordPress plugins and services. You can get all these fabulous goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more, my beloved WordPress tribe, could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. Sorry to disappoint. I've made a career of it. So they seem to like me saying that, Corey. I get more feedback about my little wind comment than the whole of the show. I tell you, Corey, doing YouTube or podcasting, it's a great way of keeping yourself balanced because, you know, you can't have any ego at all.
No ego.
No ego. So, Corey, you gave a little insight about your background, but can you give us some more about your background and how did you get into the world of crazy digital agency ownership?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I worked in a couple of other agencies, gained, you know, none of what I do in my career came from my college degree. Like most of us. right, in the digital world. Came out of school, thought I'd be an account person, wanted to work in an ad agency. This was before Mad Men, so that's not really what inspired me. But I thought I'd be...
I'm very disappointed, Corey.
Later, though, that was an interesting portrayal with some highs and lows of kind of what I had in my mind from... perceptions. I always was interested in the marketing mix and all of those things that went into advertising. Ended up in my first job in a spinoff that was a digital entity from a traditional advertising agency. And I was given the title of project manager. And that was before WordPress and before anything, open source revolution happened. And so that was probably one of the best things that I could say to this day that happened for my career, was that I'm sitting there as a project manager between three developers developing from, classic ASP to Cold Fusion and other, and even just some static HTML and CSS websites, and the client. So I learned a lot of soft skills in terms of project in managing client relationships. I learned how to resource and do project management. And also picked up some basic Photoshop skills and learned HTML and CSS, because I'm sitting here with developers getting annoyed at me, and I'm getting annoyed too to have them go change an image or go change a sentence on a web page. So that was great for me, because that was in the early mid 2000s, right before everything went open source. And it also allowed me to raise my hand when it came to answering the question of, who's going to do SEO for the agency that was growing. And I got some transition over into that role, get some great training in Southern California from some of the industry pioneers, if you will. And from there, worked my way up in agency roles, and then had to make a decision of what I wanted to do and be, which thankfully I was always able to realize burnout or get a step ahead of it and think about my career and getting to what the next thing was. And so I did get an MBA, and then I thought, well, I'm not using this right away either. But thankfully, that's what I am.
Do you see a track record here?
Well, when I realized I wanted to do managerial things and better refine my understanding of accounting, not doing accounting, but understanding what to take from it, and some of those other things, I got to lean into that later when I moved into management and leadership roles. So fast forward a bit, I ended up in Voltage. I was the one person digital marketing team. I'd broadened out from just SEO to paid search, social, email, as we got to around 2013. And it was an opportunity here in a creative shop, in a web shop, to add another function and expand for clients. Through that, I started getting tagging along to new business pitches and meetings, and actually got less scared of the word sales, and actually realized that I love translating the nerdery over to a business owner or a decision maker, and find the right fit. So as we grew, I moved up into leadership positions here. And then a few years ago, went through a succession plan with one of the original co-founders.
I think you have discussed that in previous interviews, that you bought the existing agency, didn't you? And you had the lovely experience of that process as well, didn't you?
It was an experience.
You seem very calm and relaxed for somebody that's been difficult. Because normally I'm effed up, Corey. I've been in this game too long. I'm well fucked up. But you seem very calm, Corey. It's unusual in digital agency owners.
You caught me on a good day, right? Right. It's the I always talk about the roller coaster of it. That's what I equate it to. And so we're always trying to flatten the roller coaster or get off of it and move it to a different model. So I've been through several iterations before I purchased and then after the purchase to get our narrow our positioning and niche down and find some stability and be able to be more selective in the clients we take on versus being desperate and having to take on everything every moment.
That's great. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, it's really not one of our presets, but you mentioned it in your answer. So I just want to follow up on this one piece, Corey, that I think is a linchpin for a lot of agency types that might listen to this. And you said that you had an innate ability to recognize burnout before it happened. I'm super interested in that. What creates that ability? Are you just super self-aware? Do you work out a lot? Could you feel a difference in your work energy? What was the signal to you that I need to make a change before the change makes me change?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's not to say that I have it all figured out. I went through, some pretty heavy anxiety earlier this year that led to me making some further changes in terms of our positioning and structure. But earlier in my career, for sure, as I was trying to figure out, before I knew I wanted to be an agency owner, or you can question my judgment on that, but before I knew that I wanted to be in a leadership and get further away from doing a lot of the day-to-day work, what I was able to recognize is, especially as a project manager, I got 2 years into that, and I'm, I either want to go right, I want to go do the craft of the trade. I started feeling like an order taker, right, in between. I'm like, no, I want to do the cool thing. I want to make the thing, or I want to be the strategist or whatever. And so I was able to work late, work with the guys, have them teach me, get me into the code and teach me some things, seek out that next role when the SEO role became available and go get that training, move into that, master that, but not sit in that seat so long that I'm stuck in it and can't move out of it, or I'm just burnt out and want to go have a career change entirely. So the next thing evolution was back then in 2012, 2013 is, go be a more integrated digital marketer and not just be so narrow in SEO. And then again, a year or two into managing clients, it's like, I want to build and manage a team and mentor and teach and manage. And then it got to, okay, master that, have other people equipped there. What's the next thing? And that's where that one kind of accidentally fell in my lap of, hey, I'm tagging along on this. I really like the new business part. It's exciting, the strategy on the front end. So be able to recognize it. Sometimes it was an accidental thing. Other times I could feel that stress and strain and it's like, I have to move past it. Now, to your point, outside of the career signals, I've had a lot of ups and downs with, weight and health and everything else. And also, grounded by my family and, personal beliefs and things like that too. So anytime any of those get way out of whack, right, that's where we all feel it, and be able to recognize it is key before you get past a threshold that's really hard to come back from.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, it's I pull an all-nighter, and that's okay once in a while, but if it gets to be a routine, then you're overcommitted and you got to figure something else out, right? But there's gauges. If I stick to our path here, the next question deals with positioning, right? So listening to some of your previous interviews, you discussed the importance of positioning connected to having a successful agency. Can you tell the listeners and viewers what you mean by positioning? Like what you specifically mean by positioning, and then of course the benefits of it.
Yeah, we used to do branding. We don't anymore. And that's actually connected to this to a degree where we narrowed our focus. What I realized is that I could not sell things with and do them at the level that I considered to be great. So if we, if we did the, almost good, better, best on services, we had a bunch that were okay or good, I guess, if you'd put it in that category, but only a couple that were like in the best. And that would be WordPress design and development and search marketing, both SEO and PPC. So we got to that point where I didn't want to do anything just halfway or okay, or be trying to pitch or sell something that wasn't authentically going to be delivered at the same level. So if I'm going up against a social media agency, I've got one social person. That's just one piece of what we do on our team. I don't want to have to go say that we're so great at that to try to beat a huge agency that is great at that and then have it fall apart later on me. So I wanted to get really authentic in who we were, both externally and internally. And so our positioning got a lot easier when we just narrowed it down and niched down to the two things that we do well, that all of our experts love doing, that we have all the accolades and credentials for and have, you know, the authority to be talking about at that level, because then we can authentically deliver at the same level of what we're talking about on the front end. And so if you're hearing me talk organically with you, it aligns with, even if I use different words, it aligns with the voice and tone and positioning and the feel you give from my website, from any touch point, any article I write, any interview I do. You feel that lack of authenticity and transparency. Hopefully I'm not going to go, you know, into my next conversation an hour and somebody would be like, I heard that interview. And then, but you're not that same person. But a lot of that's really helped because we're not having to try to put on a mask or an image of something that we're not, or be everything to everyone, which is a really hard place to be unless you're a global agency and you have strengths in a lot of different places.
Yeah. Yeah. That being everything to everybody is a really difficult mask to wear. You got that.
Yeah. The second line on my website is, we're probably not full service or integrated anything. And that's on purpose. That's not a slight to my friends who own integrated full service agencies. But I was tired of being in that world trying to make up for shortcomings in service areas that, you know, to try to win a deal that weren't my strong suits that would ultimately create stress and strain on my team trying to figure out how to do something that we're not staffed or equipped to do very well.
Yeah, perfect. Jonathan?
Yeah, just to give you some critique. Obviously, I listened to some of your previous interviews and I agree with what you said in those interviews and what you've stated here. My only critique is SEO and WordPress development. They're still very broad categories. I developed a word that isn't real actually, but I do that quite regularly actually. Nichify. I love that word, but it doesn't exist actually. So these seem still very broad categories. Have you nichified more down to specific areas or industries, or would you just disagree with the statement I've just made, really, Corey?
No, I love that. And I appreciate that phrase because that's, so our starting point was we have to get narrower on service delivery. And then from there, combined with that is we were stretched then also trying to manage 70 active clients in a, you know, smaller size agency with even with 20 people. When we were at 20 people, it was hard to manage that many clients and keep them all happy or to provide value that's more than just production level work. And so for us, we wanted to get our client roster narrowed down and focus on quality versus quantity. And in doing so, we're at, I think, 32 active clients now, hopefully getting closer to 20 at some point. And in doing so, some of that positioning as well is getting more into a premium space. So on the WordPress and the website of my team, we do have a design build kind of modular, more budget friendly product. A lot of what we do in the custom design and build process is more high end positioning in terms of who we're serving in terms of their websites and what types of businesses and industries they're in. So while I haven't necessarily planted a flag and said we do search and web for these three verticals, naturally there are patterns in there that you'll see. And a lot of B2B, a lot of service industry, you know, professional service or manufacturing focused companies that are about lead generation and lead quality and quality, not quantity. I say that, and we're not 100% there because we do have some, you know, some high-end brands that we do e-commerce for, but if we looked at patterns, a lot of it is based on more of a premium product, both on search and web, and aligned with lead generation and getting into the ROI math and making sure it works for our clients.
So obviously you've been around a number of years and the agency has, so hopefully you get some degree of recommendation. I've always found that I have had some really good clients from recommendation, but they've been rare because people if you're doing a pretty good job for them, a lot of people just struggling for the right word. They don't understand, because they don't understand what they're hiring for you. That makes it very difficult for them to understand the value that they're bringing to some degree. They only understand when you're no longer there and they're dealing with a much poorer experience. But am I correct? Are you, because I think you're based in Kansas City. Is that correct? Are you a higher kind of region? I thought Kirk's just moved into your area, see. Do you get most of your work as a high-end regional city player? Is that how you get a lot of your new custom and your new referrals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there is a Kansas City, at least, connection to most of our clients. Even though our three biggest clients are on the coast and in different areas, there was some connection for two of those three. One of them actually came in through our thought leadership content and actually heard me in an interview, a partner agency. And that's another category too. Probably 40% of our revenue is through other partners who either don't have the depth or don't have the subject matter that we have. And so we're easier to partner with, only doing two things instead of being an integrated full service agency where there's real or perceived competition or complexity. But we actually rebranded a little bit. We were our domain name was voltagekc.com, but then we started working with a couple of Fortune 500 companies around our country, companies around the country. And I got a question from a board, board members, like, are they a boutique Kansas City agency? Can they serve us? I'm like, no, we're absolutely the right partner for you. So we are proud of our Kansas City roots. We don't shy away.
Well, that's one of the quandaries of being a regional high quality agency, isn't it? Because it's the fact that it draws people, but when you're dealing with a larger client, it can go against you a little bit, can't it?
Yeah. And so what we did was we tried to balance that well. We actually updated our domain name and redirected everything to voltage.digital. It wasn't to get out of the Kansas City market, but it was to properly reflect the fact that, we're positioned for North America and beyond. So we lost a little bit of our own. We knew we were going to some of our own SEO juice for Kansas City rankings, but we also were able to increase some of our national exposure and credibility with some of the other thought leadership and media we were doing to properly position who we want to be for the next decade.
And do you, based on my experience in working for a large regional agency in Reno, is also a lot of your work kind of quasi-government, i.e. state, partnerships between the private sector and regional government, non-profits? Did you build up a certain book of business in that area?
Not really. Not too much. We kind of accidentally started working with a bunch of nonprofits over the years. On the WordPress side of things, we landed a client who's a performing arts center and figured out how to most elegantly and gracefully integrate their ticketing system. Essentially, the Ticketmaster for performing arts is TNU by Tessitura. And not very many people had implemented it well, right? You go through a beautiful WordPress site and you go over to buy a ticket and now it looks like a half-broken page right when you need to put in your credit card information. And so...
A crucial moment.
Yeah, so we accidentally kind of worked our way in there and had a number of clients where, that caught on, and those were all nonprofits from performing arts centers to the KC Symphony Orchestra to, a large museum in New York. So... things like that happened, and naturally we got, would have different organizations from sports to colleges to others that were nonprofit come in. Not as much government with the hoops to jump through there, but on the nonprofit side, It's always been kind of gratifying to be able to support them and find ways to give back too. But yeah, it's interesting. That was an accidental kind of thing for us to have a number of nonprofits on our roster.
Yeah, I'm just basing it. It was almost 10 years ago when I was actually working for a large, it's called Noble Studios. They had over almost 100 people working for them at one time. That was at education, Corey. Education that I don't want to go back to. I think it's time for us to go for our middle break. It's been a great discussion. We've got some great things to discuss in the second half. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I just want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting provider that provides not only fantastic hosting for your larger projects, but also all the tools and functionality that you're looking to build that great website for your client, why don't you look at becoming a partner with WP Tonic? We specialize in large membership, LMS, and community-focused websites, but we can host whatever project you're looking at. We've got over 15 years experience and 8 years in running one of the best WordPress podcasts in the market for the WordPress professional and junkie. To find out more, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. We love to build something special together. So over to you, Kurt.
Well, I want to take us back before the break. Corey, you had mentioned partnerships in your answer. And my own personal journey to agency ownership was very slow, very painful. I was a freelancer for the longest, thought I had to do everything myself. Then I found the WordPress community. The community led to connections. I realized I didn't actually have to hire people. I could partner with people and fill in some gaps. But this is, you know, from your perspective. So what insights do you have or strategies for people in that growth gap that are like, maybe I haven't even considered what a partnership looks like?
Yeah, similar to your story, being part of the community has been huge. I've been, locally, I'm part of formal and informal agency owner communities or networking groups. I'm a member of Agency Management Institute, AMI. If anybody knows Drew McClellan, who he and his wife Danielle own and run it. There are plenty of other groups, though, around the country that are similar. I've been in a digital agency mastermind group. But through that, and most of those groups have strict rules against selling in the group, which I appreciate because they're protecting the community. But authentically, through engaging in the community, it's so much easier for me to go seek out even locally another agency owner and say, hey, we haven't bumped into each other before. Would you like to grab coffee? And then you end up having, sharing war stories or getting to know each other on a personal level or having a, joint therapy session, whatever you need, whatever it turns into. But through a lot of those, it's been an opportunity for me to dig into how other people are running their shop, what their common challenges are or what my unique ones are. And I guarantee that anything that I ever thought was a unique challenge just to me was not unique to me. Somebody else has gone through it. Somebody else has solved it. So through bonding in a lot of those ways and talking about our positioning naturally leads to conversations of how can we partner up together. And so over time, that led me to developing partner pricing and even a partner agreement that's got, you know, three tiers to it of, you know, refer what the referral commission looks like if you hand it off, how we co-brand and work together with a discounted partner rate, and what it might look like if I'm white labeled behind the scenes. Common things, but I had to start kind of creating my own platform and make sure those pricing points worked for everybody. I also had some stop and starts that didn't work with, a guy who became a really good friend, but our agencies were so similar in size and rates that we couldn't carve out enough to make it work to partner with each other. So understanding who an ideal partner might look like, lead with relationship first and naturally let things organically happen if it's a good fit, and not force it and be selling in the community and turning everybody off. And so a number of things like that that I continue to refine over time and to be able to be easy to work with and easy to be a friend, a partner, someone who can do work together or a referral source both ways.
I love the way you kind of framed a lot of that. It reminded me, my original work experience was like automotive and power sports industries from a service perspective. So running a big service center for a large Ford dealership or Chevy dealership or whatever, those dealerships don't have an exhaust shop. They don't really have, you know, a performance alignment and suspension shop, right? So when someone comes in with a Nismo 350 or something, the dealership will write the ticket, right? They'll write it and then they'll send it to a sublet, to a contractor to say, okay, put these struts on, put these shocks on and adjust the camber to this or that because this guy's going to autocross this car. And I'm way off the subject for our podcast audience, but that's how a car dealership works. And when I was hearing you talk, you hit something that I think it's super important for other agencies to hear, and I want to stress it. You mentioned partnership pricing, right? And there's a reason why a lot of us here in the States have to run offshore to find contractors and workers to help us, because a lot of people in the States think, well, I'm an agency or I'm a freelancer and I charge $120 an hour. Well, you know, as well as I do, I can't pay somebody $120 an hour for a referral job because I got to mark it up to $200 an hour to make the margin, right? So how do you approach that subject with potential new partnerships or people new to that relationship about what partnership pricing would look like? And then how does that work?
Yeah, I've learned that being open and honest, really, not holding it card. If they're going to be a partner, they need to know, how I do pricing and have enough transparency at least to be able to understand how they could mark it up and where we both win. We don't do things, we for web projects estimate things by hours internally, but we don't present that to an end client. And it works best when we don't present that to a partner either, right? If we can have the conversation be around value and overall budget, then we're in a good place. So if that $15,000 web project is something that they can figure out in their pricing model overall, if we're maybe just doing dev and they're doing design and all the account management and strategy and documentation and everything else, if they're selling it for $100,000 and we're happy and fulfilled and profitable at $15,000 for our piece, and they have all their profits in place to sell for $100,000, everybody's happy. And if the client is happy and sees the value in it, the end client, we all win. And so being able to talk about how our business models work and how we win helps, because then you don't get into something where it's like, well, we all scraped by and they couldn't mark it up enough to make profit and it was a big hassle. I discounted before I even talked to them about it and I barely made any profit. And then the client had scope creep and we got in a gray area and we had to write off some things. Nobody made money and it's painful. And those partnerships don't last. So being able to understand how we make money, our clients make money, and what profit and value looks like with guardrails and not pricing ourselves out of deals is important too.
Yeah, that's a perfect answer. Jonathan?
So the book, The Digital Marketing Success Plan, what's a couple of things? Oh, he's got it. He's prepared himself. the true professional folks. What are one or two of the key concepts that you hoped people got from the book, and why did, apart from building around positioning, why did you decide to write it?
There are seven or eight real stories in the book that where I changed client names and to be able to go really deep.
Wise.
And because I wanted to be able to give the full story and the pain story. I mean, we have, you know, I see on the digital marketing side, especially clients who are just doing a checklist of tactics and hoping to see ROI or getting frustrated, or working with an agency who is just doing best practices, bare minimum, and they're spending a lot of money, or who is just jumping straight into like paid search and spending a ton of money in Google and figuring it out as they go. And Google will take our money, whether it's working or not. Agencies will take your money, whether it's working or not.
I will. I'm only kidding. When regulars of this podcast understand my dark English.
Yeah. What it came down to for me is I wanted ultimate transparency. I wanted to get our ultimate best process for how we go through the strategy and planning development process, the research we do up front, the auditing, the setup, the getting ready, and documenting a plan that is objective, actionable, accountable, that doesn't lead us into floating around or chasing shiny objects or putting it on the shelf 2 months in and then wondering at the end of the year where our ROI came from and it was a bunch of excuses. So our typical 90-day process, I give away here. And people are like, well, are you worried that other agencies will see your full process? I don't care. If it helps them in some way, great. Take that sliver that you don't do and add it into your process. It makes us all better and gets us away from having to sell against perceptions that agencies are out to get you, or there's a bunch of magic and hocus pocus that happens that is, you know, it sets up misaligned expectations and everything else on the client side, or clients giving up on working with an agency and just giving up on some of the digital marketing channels as a whole, thinking they're the problem, not necessarily that maybe the approach that was taken was it. So I've got a 5-step process in there called START, from strategy to tactics to application, review, and transformation. And it really is a, you know, the $20 print version or the $10 Kindle version for your own personal ability to implement. Or, you know, on the agency side, we'll help implement that process for you. But ultimately, it's being able to articulate it on the front end instead of, everybody's got a process. We all do. And I'm not saying anybody's is better or worse than others. But for me, it was, I want to get it out there on paper. I want to shine a light on all the things that cost agencies relationships, give them a bad name, cost clients a lot of wasted dollars, or just you know, make marketing ineffective for them overall.
I think you discussed this in a previous interview that I watched that you mentioned that. I'm not sure if it's linked to your book, but hopefully I'm not off totally track. I think you mentioned about competing with a $5,000 quote with a client where you're probably going to be quoting $15,000 to $20,000, and some of the struggles. Is that also in the book, that area, or?
Yeah, basically,
I am right about that interview that you did and that came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the many examples. And, you know, we could probably have an entire episode on apples to apples pricing and quoting and how we, you know, overcome the fact that somebody somebody's nephews, uncles, cousins, you know, sister-in-law sitting in their basement can do this for $250. Why did you quote $5,000 or whatever it might be? But it's definitely important because often another example is, and this is a discipline that I've had to learn too, is prospect comes along and says, I want to do PPC and I've got $50,000, and they put the bag of money on the table. It's easy for me to say, we do PPC, we're a Google partner agency, and you've got the money right there, let's go, and just rush into it and skip a bunch of these steps. And that's a timeout. Is paid search even right? Is it going to reach your goal, or are you going to be pissed off at us in 3 months or 6 months?
I think when it comes to, this is my position around paid search, I treat it as gasoline on the fire. But if you haven't got a strong business model and you haven't got the right messaging and verbiage, and you've proven the business model, it ain't going to do much for you apart from lower your bank account. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree, because what we talk about is, if you're not ready, if you have any holes in your brand strategy, your product development, your sales process or apparatus, you have no business. We need to take you a step back and bring in a partner who's an expert in those areas to refine those before you're ready to actually work on a digital marketing strategy and implement it and start spending dollars. A lot of times the symptoms of this are, we're running paid search or even SEO leads or leads from any other source come in, and the sales team is frustrated that every prospect is beating them up on price. Well, that's because we didn't tell a good enough story on the front end, because we didn't have a good enough product development or brand development to help us differentiate. And so every one of those 10 blue links, or there's 3 to 5 paid search ads, is telling the same story, and they're just bouncing around now looking for price because they can't tell you apart.
Yep, that's great. Great. Back over to you, Kurt.
I love Jonathan's example of pouring gasoline on a fire, right? It just amplifies whatever the results are. If you don't have a fire in the fire pit and you pour gasoline on it, all you've made is mud in the bottom of the fire. You know, it really is just an amplification of, this is going to fail and it's going to be a really expensive failure, or it was going to succeed anyway and we've helped it succeed more quickly, right? This is the fun part of the conversation, Corey. We ask almost everybody this. Artificial intelligence, AI, are there special tools that really jump off the screen for you and your agency that you found have really increased your productivity, profit, stuff like that? Or is AI really still just a distraction in your space?
It's a little bit of both, but I'll dig into that, so it's not a cheap answer. it's still very much a tool and not a solution, right? So a tool for efficiency, a tool to unify maybe some data sources and sets that would take more time, or maybe one person's human brain might miss, right? Just like if you're looking at your own copy, you're going to miss your typos or whatever. It has accelerated a lot of auditing, crawling, some of the manual things that we would take days to do, or that we'd have servers doing instead of putting it out into somebody else's AI cloud to do. But at the same time, in many cases, we have to be really careful with governance of how it's used, because we have clients who are in financial spaces, healthcare spaces, very regulated and compliance-driven industries, and they expect us to be the steward of doing the right things, or bringing to them the risks that they don't even know about yet, even though they might have a huge legal team. So there's a lot of, you know, great power that we have to carefully and kind of judiciously use as we work through it. So as you mentioned also, you know, where we are with it, I talk to clients and colleagues about, we have to have structured time. We have a task force that meets biweekly to talk about, make sure we're not all off on our own island testing different tools or spending $1 billion on what we're testing in silos, but to bring that together and make sure it's for a purpose. I also like to have structured, scheduled, intentional time for testing, so you don't feel like you're getting behind, we all feel like we're behind, right?
Yeah.
Everyone does. But to, you know, there's the balance of burying your head in the sand and ignoring it versus chasing shiny objects to no end and ignoring what's working today and where you're making money today. So having balance, having structured, intentional time and processes to go test versus having it be the thing that gets squeezed out of your day and you do it at midnight or you don't get to it, or vice versa. You start your day with it and you don't get the rest of your work done, or you take your focus off what's working.
Yeah, and as a follow-up to that, which of the AI tools jump off for you? I mean, are you strictly ChatGPT, OpenAI? Are you into Claude and Llama and Gemini and all these other things?
Yeah, we are not as deep into the safari of animals and names that you just mentioned.
I'm very impressed. I'm having no effect.
We are pretty heavy into GPT and some of our own models, but we've got accounts across a lot of different things, and we will, when we find a problem that or something that either we don't have time to do, we have too many, you know, we haven't solved it yet. That's perfect grounds for testing a new one or testing something else. We're not as heavy on the image side and or creating final product with copy, but it's much more a research-based opportunity. So there are probably a dozen of them, but they start with GPT.
I've been using a lot of AI, but I gradually have increased the amount of AI I'm using, but I've combined it. I've chosen this strategy, Corey. I combine it with a lot of video, a lot of podcasting, giving Google a lot of signals about how knowledgeable am I or WP Tonic around a certain. And some of the content has done well. Other content has gone down quite rapidly. Other content, Google seems very indifferent to it. It doesn't give it, doesn't penalize it. But I've edit the content, spent time editing the content, getting Kirk to look over the content, adding audio, adding video, giving signals to Google. And it's been a very mixed bag. Does that kind of reflect your own experiences with your own agency around this subject?
Yeah, in terms of how it performs, definitely. It's been mixed. We can get past the filters and things like that. You can run it through three different AI tools to pass.
I don't bother. I don't bother doing it. I just give it extra stuff.
Yeah, so what I've realized too, at least personally, because I write for Search Engine Journal, Search Engine Land, and Forbes, and a couple of others, and they have standards where you can't use it or use standards on it. But what's interesting is when I was testing on my own blog and in my own other channels, my frustration is still to this day is it would take me more time in editing something that I generated than just write it out of my head in 30 minutes sitting on my deck at 11 p.m. I could get a 1,000-word post out there versus spending an hour and a half fine-tuning something that I never felt like was 100% the way I wanted it. And so that's the world I still live in. But in terms of your question on the performance side, yeah, it's definitely a mixed bag. And everything I see, it's like some people are rocketing to the top with AI generated content, and some people can't get a single post into Google because they've been flagged for a number of reasons.
Do you think I'm deluding myself? But I just try and place myself in Google's shoes that if you don't add extra value for video, podcasting, editing, whatever the added value, and you're competing with really strong experts in a particular area, they're not going to rate your stuff at all well anyway, because you're not providing anything for it to be rated much higher than the competition. Or am I deluding myself?
Yeah, it's an interesting line, and it's been, you know, it's Google trying to own, you know, the zero click search results and be the publisher or answer, or, you know, it still contends that it's on the aggregator side and it's a free platform, right? When it comes to monopolies and antitrust and all the stuff that it's trying to say, you know, have protections over free speech, like the social platforms, but or social networks. But what's really interesting is if Google can answer the question with or without me and with or without giving me traffic, like, who is Google for, right? And we have to remember that Google's customer and the bulk of its revenue still comes from the end user, not from the publisher. But would Google have any content without the publisher, right? And so that dichotomy will always kind of exist, even if Google loses badly in court and has to break up and divest of, you know, some of its units or whatever. And as others rise, and if Search GPT rises and other you know, AI driven search engines, there will always be, I always go back to this, there will always be someone, when I think about the agency side, there will always be a brand that wants to be found by their target audience.
And yes, you've mentioned this before in other interviews, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. And so that was actually going back to the inspiration for writing my book. That's where I started, but that was too much of a high, lofty thing and not very tactical or tangible. And so if Google is smart, they will understand that and not go too far one way or the other. And so we see those.
It's a tricky place for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Back over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think I get this puts us at the last question. This is our famous question. If you had a time machine, H.G. Wells, or if you're from the homeland of Jonathan, Doctor Who.
Our last guest, Katie, the English lady last week, she
said she never saw Doctor Who.
I was shocked and horrored. I didn't know how to cope with Katie after that.
It was a short circuit right at the end of the show. We all just short circuited.
I was in shock horror.
So the question goes like this, Corey. If you had your own time machine or your TARDIS and you could go back to the beginning of your career, what would be the advice that you would give yourself?
Yeah, I would...
Don't come on this show.
I would go right back to the topic that we talked about. We talked about, you know, burnout, and I mentioned career direction decisions. I think at different intervals, I would have been quicker to make decisions and more decisive. Decision-making framework for me is something when I became the sole owner, I had to learn pretty quickly that I couldn't, it was probably, there was a risk in not taking action, and sometimes that's even bigger, but it's a perceived to be hidden one than taking an action. So I've learned to make quicker, more decisive decisions rather than to, I'm a thinker, I'm a crafter. I like to really look at all inputs, but to be able to make decisions, whether it was on my career and different roles, and to not waste six more months or a year and just go try something, or to put on an extra hat and go learn something faster, is something that I would do differently if I could get in the time machine at a few of those intervals in life.
Yeah, that's pretty insightful. And in reality, something that really takes a lot of balance, because there's people like me, I fail forward really quickly. I jump in, I go, boom, we'll try this, we'll try this, we'll try this, we'll try this. And if I slowed down a bit, maybe it would be more balanced, right? So there's a middle.
I'm on that other side where I'm naturally more processing, cautious thinker, maybe a little bit more conservative in decisions, where that I've had to learn the hard way in several situations where that's actually as harmful, if not more harmful, than just make a decision to on your side of it, Kurt, like you do.
Yeah, I have to weave. So I'm a dyslexic, so my thought patterns are a little bit different than the average person, Corey. So, but can be very insightful because I've accepted it now. It's been a great interview. I've really enjoyed it. Hopefully in the new year at some time you might consider coming back.
Absolutely.
What's the best way for people to find out more about you, your thoughts and insights, Corey?
Yeah, so three quick ways for agency services or free consult, voltage.digital. for speaking or any one-off coaching, CoreyMorris.com. Or if you want to learn more about the book and the resources around that, it's called The Digital Marketing Success Plan. That is such a long domain name that I've got a shorter one, the DMSP.com.
I might actually buy it, actually. You've intrigued me. And that's high praise, folks, as you know. We will be back next week with our notorious roundtable show, probably the last of the year, and I've got a super expanded panel. Obviously, in the world of WordPress, we've got a few things to discuss, plus some of the leading stories in the world of technology. As I say, at my monthly roundtable show has become notorious in the world of WordPress, but it's always great fun. I enjoy it. And we've also got some great guests in November, which is fantastic. We will be back next week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.